We'll start with Shannon and go down from there.
One passage in the scripture that has always stood out to me, and it hit me again this time when we started studying and reading through Mark, was when Simon's mother-in-law is sick. Well, she dies, right? God heals her. No, wait a minute.
She's just sick.
God heals her. Jesus comes and touches her and heals her, and she gets up and starts serving. And that speaks volumes to me about what is in Jesus' heart for us. I mean, we all need him to come and touch us, and when he does, it's not just to be spent on ourselves. It's not to soak it all up and just keep it to ourselves, but it's to take it so that we can get up and start serving. And just her heart in that, just that her heart was a servant. As soon as she felt good, she wanted to get up and feed them all and take care of them. And so that has stood out to me. And in youth group, I get to be in youth group. In youth group, we've memorized and meditated on chapter 8, verses 34-38. And it's Jesus calls the people to him, and he says to them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And he says, "Whosoever will save his life will shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for Jesus' sake and the gospel, those people are going to save their life in the end." And it's just, to me, when Jesus speaks directly to a group of people, you could just put yourself in that passage of scripture, because he called the people to him, his disciples and the people that were listening. So that's straight to us too. And he's saying to us, "Whosoever will come after me," like to each of you, he's saying, "If you will come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." And he says, you are going, if you're going to do that, it's not like an option. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to die. You're going to take up your cross. You're going to deny yourself. You're going to follow him into his death. But that is the only way to live. And so, I don't know, it just seems so black and white to me this time as we meditated on that scripture. It's black and white. If you want to come after Jesus, there's one way to do it, and it's through the cross. So, but it's also very encouraging, because only the man who's willing to lose his life is going to save it. That's the only one that's going to save his life. So it's good.
One of the things I will say is that if you've noticed, one of the major themes in the Gospel of Mark is servanthood. And how many people here have ever heard Steve Humble preach on servanthood? Some. How many people don't know who Steve Humble is? It would seem that it would be more. Well, anyway, we are going to have probably Steve Humble come and teach on servanthood, because he's the best teacher on it. But that theme is so central there in Mark, especially in the central part where Jesus says, "Listen, the greatest among you will be your servant." And learning to be a servant is one of the major values that we have as a church. So I think that's a real important theme to pull out. And then the other thing, let me just say this real quick. We don't have a youth group. I'm not correcting Shannon. This is one of the most exciting things that goes on in the church, and a lot of you don't know about it. The youth age, the parents meet with them once a week, and we are meditating scripture together, and we're encouraging one another, and we're praying, and we're worshiping. And it's one of the most exciting things we do in the week, to me, to see those kids with their parents, loving one another, encouraging one another, becoming team together. It's just a great thing, and it's not... We are not trying to entertain the kids to keep them in the kingdom of God. We are seeking the kingdom together, and it's just a great time. So, anyway, let's keep on down the line. Mr. Owens.
I guess for me, it wasn't really just one thing. It was a lot to do with the timing of this whole reading Mark kind of deal. 2 weeks ago, I got offered a job in Seattle. And then the next night, we came in and Chad talked about discipleship. And then Andy shared how he had that job offer in Annapolis and he turned it down. So that was cool. kind of like what Ms. Grissom was talking about, like picking up your cross, denying the things you want to do yourself, seeing what's best for the kingdom, those sorts of things, really. Seeking after God to find out... what he wants with my life and making those my priorities. So I had to decide by yesterday, and I had no idea. Like Wednesday, I was like, oh, dang it, that's tomorrow. And then, so I decided not to go. So I guess just the whole timing of this was really helpful in that decision making.
What you didn't know is Andy and I staged that. No, not really. And for those of you who don't know, Mrs. Grissom is Shannon. We get called Mr. and Mrs. Grissom. I want to introduce the next person. Amir, come up here. This is Amir. He's from places where weather like this is an everyday thing. Yeah, they go out in their shorts in this. And I just want to issue a challenge. How many people have not met Amir? I'd like you to meet Amir, but I'm issuing you a challenge because I want to see who can achieve this challenge. I want to see who can get Amir over to dinner. This is one of the most difficult guys to get over to dinner that I've ever encountered. And so I'm just issuing this general challenge, and I apologize for the harassment you're going to get ahead of time. Anyway, take it away.
Thanks. Thanks for the very kind introduction. All right. My story or my statements are not going to be as funny or as awesome as Jeff's, but I hope they provoke some thought nonetheless. And when Pastor Chad was reading in Mark, and he talks about John the Baptist eating locusts and having honey and being out in the wilderness, the first word, there's two words that come to mind right away. One is Duck Dynasty. That's nice. Great. I got one good laugh out of that. That's great. All right. The other is rugged. But after a moment's thought and some longer analysis, the best word that comes to mind is pure. You see, John is a man who's living on the earth in the most pure way one possibly can, away from any worldly distractions, away from any other people that can take away from you interacting with God's creation. And that's a theme that recurs throughout the rest of the passage that he first preached on in the beginning of the year. The other part that continues along this vein is seen after Jesus is baptized and when he is driven. The word is drove, and I don't know about you guys, but if you're driven to do something, that's a pretty strong word. Jesus is not moved to go out. He didn't like feel like going out, but he was driven. This was something he was compelled to do. And what it does, in my opinion, is speak volumes to the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit when you first meet Jesus truly, when you first meet Christ, and as you continue along that journey, you are driven and called to be separated, sanctified, set apart, and made holy. And Jesus going out into the wilderness can be interpreted in two ways. One, as a trial, and it's very important that as growing Christians we experience that trial, but also as an opportunity for growth and meditation, an opportunity to really, again, get back to that purity, away from all the noise, away from all the distractions, and really listen, not just hear, but listen to what God has to say to us. And so to me, that was just very powerful, especially being in college and being around all these distractions, none of which will be named for the sake of little children being here. But the point is, it was very powerful to see that reoccurring theme within that passage of loneliness in the sense of purity and keeping it simple. But that's what I got out of that. So,
what really struck me is very similar to what Shannon talked about. It's actually the same portion of scripture, and it was the same thing really. Because I think where the mother-in-law gets up and serves is 180 degrees away from the way most people think about what Jesus comes to do for us. Most people have the idea that Jesus comes to make everything like a perpetual three-day weekend for us and make everything great. And that's true. That's what happens. But it's as we serve and do the work with him. And that's what she did immediately when she got up. And so what happened in her life was fulfilled when he made her well, because she began doing what he wanted her to do. It wasn't like, oh, great, now I can go do what I want to do and it's good because Jesus blessed it. It was, okay, let me get up and help. So that really struck me, because it's one of those passages where you read it, you've probably read it 100 times, but you didn't get that, or I didn't get, I'm not saying you didn't, but I didn't, I never saw it that way. So that was one part. And then the next little short section of that passage talked about how all of these people then came to Peter's house. And Chad talked about how Jesus, when he comes into our life, he rearranges our house, or he rearranges our life. And for me, that struck me, because any of you all who know me very well, that's not me. I kind of like how things are, and I like how things are my way, and I don't really want you coming and rearranging my house. So I also don't really, you know, you also get to where you think things are pretty good in yourself, and you don't necessarily realize the places that you need to be rearranged. So it's been, the last couple of weeks has been really, really good for me to just really examine where the areas are that Jesus is wanting to rearrange and the things he's got his finger on. So, you know, ideally that would happen for someone else, but that's really been good for me.
Thank you for sharing that. And I was thinking about you, Patrick, and I wanted to ask you to do something for me. A lot of times I think about, this will be easy. A lot of times I think about how to challenge people to serve, mm-hmm. particulars. What can they do? Could you, and this is not for tonight, take a week, could you come up with a list of things in the body, mm-hmm. just ways to serve? Cool. Yep. That if somebody came to me, I could say, you know, would you give Patrick a call? And here's the thing about serving. Well, there's a lot about serving. But one thing is, a lot of people want to serve. They sort of want a one-time thing to feel good about or whatever. Or they want to serve and they're not really a blessing in the way they serve. And I think Patrick's pretty good. He's pretty sensitive to that. So anyway, if you would come up with that list, that'd be great. We could, you know, yeah. Okay. Take it away, Natalie.
The thing that has really been hitting me is 2 weeks ago, Chad was talking about, and Mark, and one of the things that hit me was, he said, we need to go out into the wilderness places so that we aren't distracted by other things and can really meet with God. People of God are called to do this in a regular way. And I think I've always considered that the wilderness is a part of our spiritual walk, but I'd never considered it in this way before. And I think I was also coming on the heels of being in the wilderness myself after the surgery. And it really showed me a lot about what was still in my heart. Kind of Chad was talking about how when you're in the wilderness, those things float to the top, the way you respond to things. It's just a good litmus test, I guess, for the ways that you have grown, the ways you still need to grow for me personally. It was good to kind of have that adjustment for how I think about the wilderness. I think before I had been really frustrated, like, why am I in a wilderness? When do I get to get out of the wilderness? I'm really done with being in the wilderness. I know it's a part of life, but let's move it on. And I think now I'm able to see it more as almost a gift that God gives us to see just where we've come in him and like I said, where we need to go. But it was just really good for me to not be burdened by the wilderness. It's not a burden, and I think these teachings have helped me see that. So.
So, like, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Mr. Grisham had an altar call for people who felt like they had part of their life that they hadn't given completely to God. And when he said it, I had been meditating on the scripture of Mark for youth, and felt like I hadn't given God everything and was really dead, and just had a lot of sections of my life where I wanted to fit in and, like, with the culture, and wasn't going to give it to God and wanted to do it my way and feel normal, or whatever the cultural normal is. And so I felt, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, compelled, I guess, by the altar call. And I was sitting in the row that we always sit in, and I always think whenever there's an altar call and I'm called, like, feel compelled to do it, that the first row, you know, that row I'm on is good enough. And it's close enough to the front, and it counts and whatever. And so I had finally decided that I didn't need to go up all the way to the front. I was close enough. And Mr. Grissom came up and said that there was a really, like, a power in coming up and admitting it and going up to the front row and saying it. And so that really hit because I had just decided that I didn't need to. And so... So I felt a lot better, and I could feel, like, coming up. I didn't feel like, well, I'm kind of getting out of it. But that was kind of all that I had. But the altar call really compelled me, so.
Could I move up too? Could you hear her? Okay, I didn't know if it's good. I didn't want to make you do it again.
Andy shared in home group a list of questions that made me think a lot. One of them, am I willing to offend my family or friends to follow Christ? I was brought up in Atlanta, Georgia, by very Southern parents, and as part of our culture, you don't offend people. And I was taught, well, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, because those are two things that really offend people. And that's been something Lord's been working on me for years and still continues to work on me about, especially in Mark 1, when here James and John are out fishing with their dad, and Jesus comes by, follows me, and they just leave their dad. And he's working, you know, and he's got his servants there, and they just leave him. And I'm thinking, ooh, my parents would be rather offended by that if I did that. But the Lord has been working on me time and time again. If I'm Lord of your life, you will be willing to be interrupted and to go do what I ask whenever I say. And I remember back in college when my brother was not walking with the Lord, and I had that strong feeling in my heart, you need to go talk to your brother. Well, he's family, and there again, I don't want to start World War III, because he was very strongly anti-Christian. He had the bumper stickers on his car and had chosen a very adamant lifestyle of sin. And but I went. I didn't know what to say. You know, he's older than I am. Elder brothers don't like to listen to younger sisters. But I went, and, well, the first time I thought, no, Lord, I just can't. I just can't confront him. And I had a whole week of feeling guilt about, if he's Lord, I can't tell him no. But, Lord, please give me another chance. And he did. Next week I had another chance. My brother was at home alone. And, you know, the Lord just put the words in my mouth to say, just words of love. And, you know, you need to give God another chance. And, you know, he's real and he loves you. And he received it better than I thought he would. And, you know, after 20 years of praying, he's a Christian today. It's been a very sweet story, but... I don't know, just the Lord keeps bringing situations, you know, that push me out of my comfort zone. You need to go tell this person about me. And I think about all the wonderful things he's done for me, and then I feel ashamed. It's like, how could I not want to go share so that this person can experience the joy that I have?
Is it? Okay. So there seems to be this reoccurring theme in teachings that Chad brings that continues to hit me. And obviously I haven't had victory in it, or it wouldn't continue to hit me. But a couple weeks ago when he shared in Mark about being interrupted, toward the end of the sermon, he brought that up. And in the list that Michelle mentioned, that Andy gave to our home group, one of the questions was, are we willing to be interrupted? And, you know, sometimes I'll go along and think, oh yeah, if this person calls and interrupts me, it's okay, it doesn't bother me, I can change my plans. But it's like Patrick calls and says, I need you to go do this. And I'm like, that was not part of the plan I had for today. I do not have time to do that. And that is where I think God really wants to meet us, because it's in the things that we don't necessarily want to do, isn't necessarily comfortable, it's not fun, it's not what we had planned. And over in this beginning part of Mark, Jesus tries to pull away. You know, he goes, tries to go to a desolate place, and they follow him. And I do think it's very important that we do pull away and then we get to desolate places. But, you know, it says he'll try to go to a desolate mountain and they follow him. And he tries to get in the boat and go across to a desolate place. And he gets there and they're already there. And so just remembering that it's in those times that God really wants to meet us. It's in those places that are uncomfortable. It's in those places that we don't necessarily want to do, the times that are unplanned. And, you know, we all have very busy lives, whether you're working full time or you're home with your kids. And, you know, obviously I'm one of the super planners, so I have like every minute of my day planned out. And so it irritates me more probably than it does some other people, but we're all in that boat where we have stuff that, you know, this is what I need to get done today. But stopping and knowing that, just like, you know, when we look at the big picture of our life, you know, God knows better for our lives than we do. He uses those interruptions to teach us something. And he also uses those interruptions to help us see how we're not like him. And over, Jesus was interrupted. And if we're going to do what Shannon said and deny ourselves and take up our cross, that's part of it. Being able to say, okay, yeah, I need to lay down my desires and my wishes for this section of time and serve my husband or serve my kids, and being willing to change plans so that someone else is taken care of. And just carrying that in a practical sense throughout our days.
Okay, so I'm going to give a few more minutes if there's anybody else that wants to share. I think this is really good. We're going to pray, but I have a few announcements in the middle of all this. So you'll be thinking if anybody else wants to share. Can I announce, do you need help tomorrow, Ryan? You sure? Ryan's going to be moving the rest of the stuff at his house, and there's two-thirds of a truckload still there if anybody's available to help him move. He doesn't want me to do that, but I'm sure he would appreciate the... At what time? What are you going to do it? He's mad at me now.
I'll be over at my house later in the afternoon. It'd be like 2 o'clock and later. It will not be early.
And then I'll just announce it now. Tuesday, my home group is planning on painting at the Zocco's. Taryn, is that right? Okay. So, Steve, are you going to be at home group? By any chance? Okay, so I just wanted to ask you, while I was thinking of it, I need you to be the painting boss. Yes, and yell at people that do it wrong. I mean, people both need to learn, but people also need to know that they don't know, and Steve knows. And so, just so everybody knows, if Steve yells at you, you listen to what he says, because he knows about painting. So does that make sense? Always painting is the one. You know, there's people that don't know how to do it and they've got a great heart, but they need to know that they don't know so somebody can teach them. And anyway, so that's a great opportunity. That's Tuesday.
Can other people?
Yes. I think I'll probably send an announcement. We may meet like at McDonald's near their house and sort of organize so that it's not a glut. But yes, I think anybody that's, you know, painted before knows what they're doing. And then, Taryn, is it a week from Saturday that you're moving? Or a week from tomorrow, the Zocco's will be moving. So I don't think it'll be like Ryan's move. Yeah, yeah. So that, in fact, would probably be amazing because we could probably do it incredibly fast. So I don't know. Any other announcements like that? Okay, anybody else got something as people were sharing? I'm very encouraged by what people shared. Isn't it encouraging? I'm encouraged to know what's convicting people. I'm encouraged to know, doesn't it challenge you to hear other people's relationship with God and where they're pressed and how they relate to God? That is very encouraging to me. It's encouraging to know where I think the Holy Spirit's taking us as a church. And I would just say that all of those things that were shared are, I think, you know, front edge of where God's taking us. So anybody else before we spend some time in prayer? Amanda? I don't know. We've been kind of recording them, so. All right, while Amanda's coming up, anybody else? 5, 4. Okay. On the mic. All right, 5, 4. Okay. These two.
I'm also from the South. I have a family that's deeply rooted in traditions, and family is super important. And so when I decided to stay up here, my family moved back to Georgia. And I really felt a strong call in my life to really get knit in here and be discipled here. So Chad's point when he said the call to discipleship will always bring conflict. It will always be wrought with controversy. It threatens all the status quos and loyalties in your life. That was so hard for me. Like, I remember the first year that I started missing baseball games and, you know, birthday parties and all of that stuff, and my family calling me and they're like, "Do you even love us?" Like, it was just so hard, but it was so good too. And I knew that God was doing something. And it took a while, but my family saw that God was doing something too, to the point where they were like, "Okay, you know, you have so much more to offer us if you stay there and really grow." So I can testify to that. It is really hard, but God calls you to hard things so that he can teach you. And then I was thinking about the wilderness too. And Chad, I think you preached on the wilderness, maybe, was it 2 years ago? I think so. Do you remember that? We were going through the Old Testament, and he spent time talking about the wilderness. And he likened it to the Lord taking his bride on a honeymoon. He was taking you away from everyday life, from your, you know, the culture, pulling you out of things that you're normally a part of, and so that he could really teach you about himself, so he could really teach you about what he's doing and what he's calling you to do. And might not seem like a honeymoon or feel like a honeymoon while you're in the middle of it. But you can always look back to that time, and it's a really sweet time with the Lord. And that time, when you're going through something else hard, you look back on that time and it kind of gets you through some of those hard times. So I tried to find it online, but I couldn't. I think it was like 2 years ago.
Gosh, this is really hard to stand up here in front of all of y'all. Can you all just turn around? Or no, I'm just kidding. everybody knows that I'll talk to anybody. But I have I'm drawn to people who are like me. I talk to people who like to talk, and Sarah knows, don't you? When Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners." And I thought, I shared this at a home group. God really does put opportunities in front of. It's so fun to hang out with people that we love and know, and we have that similarity in God. But it's not as comfortable when you know that someone is walking in sin. Gosh, I sound like I'm getting ready to burst into tears, but I'm not. but it's much more comfortable for me to go to Ryan and Sarah's house than it would for me to go to someone who does not know God. But God puts opportunities in front of us wherever we are, at the grocery store, at wherever you are, literally, there is somebody that needs saving. So through that, I thought, you know, I just need to put myself out there more. I mean, I wouldn't hang out with drug addicts, and I mean, I would, but I'm not quite there yet. But that's to say that eventually, that's where we need to be. We need to be with the sick and you know, we need to be with the well too, so we can get trained to be with the sick. So thank you.
So I've said in my home group, if you want to meet people, just go shopping with Kate. So seriously, you know, if you want to go shopping with Kate, you can make an appointment with her. And it's also probably fun to watch Ben as Kate goes out and meets people and see how he reacts to the whole scene as it develops. You love that, Ben? You didn't know I was talking about you. All right, well, I'd like just to spend a few minutes praying. So let's stand up, and let me ask folks to pray. I'll close it, but gather up what people have shared. Gather up what it seems like the Spirit's saying, and then I'll wrap it up there at the end.